Blog Talk Radio.
A denied entry to USA show.
You go retaliate and do towards your friends, it becomes a gang situation. Listen, you know, y'all up against the military, and then y'all become a militarized zone.
All right, listen up. Have you been stopped at the U.S. border?
Trying to keep it going, you know what I'm saying? But whoever bring the noise, you know, 209th and Figueroa Road, you know what I'm saying? We got to handle our business. We ain't let nobody step on our toes. Blood, rips, or whoever.
Right here, these are that.
Do you have a criminal record? You know who you are.
Come on, bullet holes, scars. Come on, 19, 20 years in prison. YA, camp, juvenile hall, San Quentin, Spokane, Solidar, Cork, Pelican Bay, Chino, the whole.
Well, this show is definitely for you then.
I think the police out here primarily arrest criminals, irregardless of their hue, criminal allegiance, sex, religion, faith, all that. They are out here to arrest criminals. And gang members tend to fall into the criminal realm. They're criminals. They shoot, kill, pack illegal weapons. They're criminals. So as a consequence of that, they have to have a gang division of the police department. No, but the pigs ain't out just to arrest a certain person. They are anti-criminal. I ain't mad at them. That's their job. 5-0, no, I ain't got nothing against them as far as they being soldiers, taking money out of the bank. If they swatting me on some activity, I got to get down with them. That's the rule. But I ain't going to fuck with them for no reason, and they ain't going to fuck with me because I drive by the rule. I ain't got nothing against 5-0. They push up on me, I'm getting ill. And the motherfuckers going.
Now, reaching out to you from the beautiful Pacific Northwest, it's Ken and Lisa.
That's there for you, by his faith, and only you, and no one else. So again, it's Ken Scott, a senior U.S. Immigration Law Intelligence Analyst with www.usentrywaiverservices.com, and we resolve to clear all USA border crossing issues. So I'm not going to do the intro of the various national anthems. We're going to get right into it. I'm going to get a guest online. Well, he's not really a guest. Get the Surrey manager online. Let me ring him up here. Okay. All right. Okay, it says dialing.
Hey, bro.
Hey, welcome to the Denied Entry to USA show, a show that's, well, I guess for you too, since you're part of the crew, no one else. How are you doing today, brother?
Man, I'm just thinking, I wish I could go to the United States so I could be wasting my way in Margaritaville.
We'll sort you out with that this week, so that won't be a problem. This is going to be a very, very busy week, as you are well aware.
Yeah, the schedule but, I've got is definitely got me busy.
And I never mentioned this before, but and I'm not going to say any names, but for the one troll that just seems to have a stiffy about us, he keeps indicating there's no Surrey BC office, yet it exists because people come there to see us.
That man is living in his own little delusional world, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, so he thinks he thinks it's only a mailbox. They only have a mailbox. He doesn't realize we have six locations, despite the fact that the site says it. And we've done YouTube videos in most of the locations, but I guess they don't exist.
Well, to that man personally, I'll tell you, I'll just say this. He doesn't have enough hair on his ass to fucking come from Ontario to BC to see me personally. That's all I'm going to say.
I wasn't expecting that, but okay. So now we said that, let's get right into the topic. U.S. waiver for entry. And basically, you know, a U.S. waiver for entry is just what the name says. It's a waiver that you get to enter the USA. And as you are well aware, my brother, not every conviction or crime requires a waiver.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, well, we just had that client came in a couple of weeks ago. I mean, he's one of those, you know, guys that if anybody's ever watched the children's movie, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, I mean, that guy had the golden ticket. It was misplaced, but it's replaceable. I mean, not many, you know, companies across the board can even know how to go back and you know, get one of those. And that's why he came to us, because he said, hey, you know, I trust you guys. And that's all, you know, the trust is a huge factor in this industry. If you can't trust someone, it's, you know, you can't go backwards in lifestyle.
Exactly. You have to go forward in lifestyle. And one of the things for the show here is that I want to say sometimes it's tough getting guests to come on because of lots of people. They're shy about being in front of the mic or the camera, the administrator being one. Vancouver manager, we may eventually get him in front of the mic or camera. Burnaby manager, we've done a show on him, and of course people hear you. Ooh, who's that? So obviously all you guys exist. You guys are not robots or Cylons or androids. Well, that's too much Star Trek, I guess. I had to put in there. So, regarding the topic, though, U.S. waiver for entry, you know, when people come to the office, they come to the office to discuss their reason why they are inadmissible to the U.S. and why they need a waiver. But as you already, as we kind of just started out with, not every offense requires a U.S. entry waiver. And I get so tired of these competitors trying to shove a waiver case down everyone's throat. And they say, oh, you need a waiver. You broken out, you need a waiver. Oh, you tripped and fell down. Oh, you need a waiver. They shove it down their throats, and they really do a disservice for these people. This one girl, she's in Ontario, and she essentially does not need a waiver if she waits for the time period that her and I discussed. And then her case is essentially resolved. It won't be an issue. And then took a bit of time to explain it to her, but then she got the point, and she's going to save loads of money. But I want to touch upon some of the memorable clientele that we had that came to the office. People don't realize what we have to go through in order to maintain such a high success rate, a 98% to 99% success rate. They don't understand about the actual, like the hands-on part. And the person sitting there with us, and they're going over their case and the personalities that we have to deal with.
Oh, there's been some characters. I will admit that have definitely come into the Surrey office. I know Burnaby office has had more than their share.
Yeah, he tends to get more of the, like for example, I'll give you an example. We had a guy come to the office. He was there for an hour and a half discussing his case, yeah. And we told him the fee at the end. And the guy turns to us and says, oh, I have to pay for this. And I said, well, yeah, it's not free. He said, oh, I thought it was free. And I was just stunned there. I said, wait a minute. I was like the deer in the headlights. I said, did he not just say, did he just say he thought this was free? And you should have saw the look on the Burnaby manager's face. He turned red as a beet, not out of embarrassment, out of anger. And his lips started trembling. I'm thinking, uh-oh, I know what's coming next. I know what's coming next. And then the guys were saying, oh, well, I thought this was free. Okay. And then we told him the fee again, because he asked us what the fee was, even though we just told him 1 minute ago. He says, oh, do I have to pay that? I said, well, sir, you just asked what the fee is. The fee is something that we charge for compensation. Well, I know that, but do I have to pay a fee? I paused for a second. I said, is this guy trolling? And the guy, he was not trolling. He really was not trolling. I'm sitting here scratching my head and thinking, okay, now this gentleman, there's nothing wrong with him. I mean, he was a sound mind. He had no mental health issues, but he just didn't seem to grasp the concept that when you come in for services, you're seeking a business for a service, you have to pay a fee in order to get service rendered. He had trouble grasping that concept that he had to pay a fee to get a service from a private business. And I thought he was joking, but he was really serious. And then what he did was, after a while, he said, okay, well, he got up and said, okay, well, let me think about it. So I didn't know it was free. I mean, I didn't know I had to pay for it. I thought it was free. And when he left, the Surrey manager just, I'm sorry, the Burnaby manager.
I was going to say, you mean the Burnaby.
Yeah, not you. He was fit to be tied. And he said, why'd that guy come here wasting his time, yada, yada. I said, well, look, he says he didn't know. He says, how could he not know he had to pay? What's wrong with the guy? And he had some choice words for the gentleman. And I said, well, the gentleman is just a bit challenged. I mean, he said, how could it be challenged? I say, well, he had other choice words than what I would use. But it does seem that in the Burnaby office, the Burnaby manager, he tends to get a boatload of, how can I say it? Because the people, they don't have mental illness. I don't think it's mental illness. They just, I would say on maybe a level of sharpness, where you got sharp as a razor blade or sharp as sharp as a knife. They're about sharp as sandpaper. And it doesn't faze me as much, but he just loses it because it happens to him fairly often. But not that often to you or the Vancouver office. Something about that Burnaby location.
I think it's just maybe a central hub area that just attracts, the lower, categories and whatnot. I mean, Surrey being the head office, we get more of the former,
heavy hitters, former heavy hitters.
Yeah, there you go. I was going to say, how would I put it in nice, gentle words?
Yeah, basically individual, if you got a gentleman who in the past he had a business where he decided they removed doors, they forcefully removed doors from the hinges with their feet and entered for whatever reason, entered unlawfully. But then he's no longer in that industry, and now he's married, he's got kids, he's a truck driver, he prays every day, at the religious center. And then he's a settled individual. So those individuals that come in like that or in the same family, those guys, I mean, there's really never any issues with them. Never any issues. They say, okay, here's the money. Get it done. Bye. But then you get the guys who come in. The guy says, oh, I stole a rowboat. I stole a rowboat. It's so bad. I stole a rowboat. And it's so hard for me to keep a straight face when I hear it. I say, okay, I stole a rowboat. And he makes it seem like he's damned to hell for stealing a rowboat. And you weren't there for this one. Finally, one guy who said that, it wasn't a, he didn't steal a rowboat. He stole, I think it was like one of those rubber boats you buy from fields. He stole one of those. Go figure. And I finally had to say, sir, you stole a blow-up boat. That's, nothing. You stole a boat. Well, actually, two. But you stole a blow-up boat. That's nothing. He said, well, what do you mean? He said, that's really bad. And I said, I had to say, OMG. I said, I had a guy in here right before you were here with two of his friends, and they had a habit of beating up RCMP officers for fun. So now you tell me which one is worse, stealing two blow-up boats, beating the shit out of RCMP officers, and trying to take their guns from them. And then he looked at me like, oh. Well. The gentleman had to put his head down, and then he felt embarrassed after that. But you remember the other gentleman we had that came in, and what does he do? He writes us a check, and he says, can you hold it? He said, here's the check, but don't cash it. You had that gentleman.
I did, and to be honest, that set up so many different red flags right then and there. Number one, you're writing a check. I mean, not many people write check nowadays, right? So it's usually pretty simple, debit, credit card, e-transfer. But he was so adamant about writing the check and at the same time also saying, don't cash the check yet. I'll let you know when to cash it. I'm going, okay, if you wrote me a check, I'm already starting your paperwork. And you don't want me to cash it until you tell me to. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's bad for business. You know, and at the end of the day, it is what it is. It happened. But the gentleman, I mean, he never came back. I mean, I do believe, if memory serves me correct, he did send a couple other clients, but his clients that he sent were in the same, in the same game he was playing. Oh, I can't do this right now. I can't do that right now. You know, I talk a great game, but, well, what did you come here in the first place? To waste my time? I mean, you could have just did that over the phone.
you are definitely more strict than I am. You and the administrator are extremely strict. You two basically help rein me in and pull me quasi down from the clouds, because I have a habit of being not fully in the clouds, but halfway up towards the clouds. And especially the administrator, that strong Estonian blood. And her mindset is either pay or get the hell out. whoa.
Well, if you're going to be wasting somebody's time, is it really necessary to come in and to like sit me down for over 2 hours to talk about the same repetitive, you know, stuff that we just went through, you know, and you're asking questions? I understand that. But I mean, if it was, you know, consultation, would he come in? No. You know, I don't mind giving advice and pointing people into the, you know, the direction that they need to go on. But at the end of the day, you know, don't be telling me you're making hundreds and thousands of dollars, but you cannot afford what we're, you know, trying to help you with, you know, resolve towards your, you know, United States immigration violation kind of stuff. And, you know, in that sense, you know, I sympathize with many of the clients. I do. Some people have a hard time, you know, they're going through divorces, you know, custody battles. And, you know, that's where we offer payment plans. But to come in there just at the, you know, like that one client, you know, I'll give you a check, don't cash it until I tell you to. I mean, you're trying to, you know, tell me what to do. I mean, come on.
I'm trying to be your friend here. Yeah. Oh, no, sorry. No, I was saying that one, it was you and the administrator were both there for that one.
That's correct. If memory serves me correct, yeah.
Knowing her, she probably had a look on her face like, what the F is this?
Oh, I do remember that she did take the check, and I was just kind of like, you know, and then he sent, you know, other clients along the way, and I think if memory serves me correct, I think it was basically, he wanted to come back, and he said, hey, look, I sent a couple other guys, you know, I should be getting my stuff done for free. Well, yeah, you sent a couple other guys, but they didn't come aboard. So
yeah,
it's like, how do I give you? Yeah, they didn't pay. Like, it's like back in the day, there used to be subway stamps. right? You get a little Subway card, and every time you go to Subway, you buy a sub, you know, you get stamped. So, you know, you get like six stamps, you get like a 6-inch free. Well, it didn't work with his, you know, guys that he sent across. I'm like, well, how can we, you know, give you some kind of offering when there hasn't been anything, there's no contact. Like they didn't come aboard. They didn't do anything. They just came for information. They turned around and walked off. And that's bad for business.
Yeah, definitely. And that's one of the reasons why we screen these people before they come in. So it's like when they ring us up and we, you know, fill them out and see what they want and see what the problem is, what they need. And I can pretty much tell 9 times out of 10, I'll say, okay, this person's going to be fine. There's no issue. Their finances are fine, and we can help them. There are times, though, where I've told people, I say, you know what? We cannot help you, sir. Like the guy, and this one, I don't think you ever knew about it. This one wanted to come in, and he's from Langley. Go figure. I like to pick on Langley. But he's from Langley, and apparently when he was in high school, I guess he had brought 2 pipe bombs to the school. And the police found out, and, you know, he got suspended and all that good stuff. So when I told him, just hearing his voice, I said, this guy is not all there upstairs. And I said, sir, sorry, we can't really help you. And he said, what do you mean you can't help me? What's wrong with me? And he started going off. I said, well, we can't really help you, sir. I mean, he basically stated that he was tired of being pushed around and bullied all his life and being rejected by people in school and society. He even said, yeah, I brought the bombs there. He said, but I didn't set them off. I didn't blow them up. I don't see why they were suspended for it. It was just a prank. How do you discuss that with someone who brings pipe bombs to school and they say, oh, it's just a prank. I didn't hurt anyone. But they were real. They were wired. They could have went off. I asked him. He said, well, yeah, they were ready to go. And I said, okay, but you still brought them to school. So, yeah, but I didn't use them. I'm thinking, okay. Then I thought of the movie, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I'm sorry, we couldn't use you, sir. That gentleman, he got mad. He said, I'm coming down there to the office right now, and you're going to help me. Well, that gentleman, he tried to come down, but the thing is, he didn't know the actual office. He went to the box, our corporate mailing center. And he got on the phone, demanded to know the location. And this is the very reason why we screen people before they come down, so you don't get issues like this. And then he's adamant. I said, I'll tell you what, sir, stay right there. Just tell me what you're wearing. Tell me what car you're in. And I will have some associates come have a chat with you and see if they can sort you out. Then he got quiet. He said, well, don't be called. I said, no, sir, I can assure you they will not be cops. And it was not going to be RCMP. So, but I, you know, we have some individuals who, when we get these kind of cases, we can call upon them and they provide free security services in exchange for either not needing a waiver or getting their waivers done for life. But these gentlemen have a habit of, in the past, they would just, how can I say it? They were just like shit disturbers. A couple of them beat up cops for fun. A couple of them smashed RCMP, you know, the windshields of the cruiser. One of them put one RCMP officer in a chokehold. And, you know, and these guys, they're just crazy in the head. I mean, it's fine now. Mind you, that stuff was years ago. But these individuals provide security services for us. We get unruly clients or whatever. But you had one unruly client at one time. Who came there and would not leave, but then you strongly encouraged him to leave and he left. I don't know if you remember.
Oh,
that one
was definitely a prize from a Cracker Jack box.
He comes there late, demands to charge his phone up, and you say, well, no, that's not happening. Everything is shutting down, and he wanted to fuss and debate it and say, sir, why are you here? So, but the end result was that gentleman saw the Burnaby manager and then was fine. Then we had another girl that came in, and she, I guess maybe she worked, I won't even say that. I guess maybe, I don't know, maybe the night before she went to a party, maybe at the party she happened to walk outside, and some people outside may have been taking a few tokes of, you know, green stuff. And, you know, I don't know, I guess she accidentally walked through the smoke and the haze of it, and it got into her clothing. So when she came into the office, she had some remnants, I would say, in the air of it. And the remnants, we can say, was so strong that we felt lightheaded. Or when I say lightheaded, I mean like we...
Yeah, I think I have to bulk on that one. I think she was a factory worker that she came in. It was just the strong was just, you know, beyond potent. I mean, myself, I don't smoke personally, and I don't do drugs. But the individual in question that came in, I mean, you know, if I was a bumblebee, I'd stay away from her as far as I could. Right. So that's being, you know, very, very nice. You know, I don't want to like pick on that certain individual, but she was a gig worker, which, you know, obviously set her to places and, you know, to do what she needed to do. And very nice person, very nice individual.
She's very nice.
Just she had a bad taste in perfume is what I would say.
Okay, fair, it works. Fair enough. Yeah, fair enough. You know, green stuff style perfume. Well, perfume nonetheless. I'm okay with that. And as another individual, as you remember, we call him the spinner. He comes in there talking, and you were there for that one. And he just spins around like a top in his chair, kept spinning around.
I don't know what part of the asylum he escaped from, but I'm just telling you right now, you know, that individual was like, whether he came in high as, you know, an MF, but that guy was like looking up at the sky, spinning around, looking at me, you know, shooting laser beams out of his eyes. I thought I was going to melt in my chair just sitting there. I'm like... My friend, can I get you some, like a glass of water or some more sugar and coffee to calm you down? Like, well, what happened here? You came in, you know, peacefully, quietly, upright, and you're sitting on the chair and spinning around like it's a ride at Playland.
Oh, yeah. You know, people don't realize that in this business, we see all kinds that come into the locations. But you have not seen nearly what the Burnaby manager has experienced. You've only experienced maybe 2% of what he's experienced. For him, it was every other, I would say every second person he had an episode such as this. Example, he had an individual, this is no lie, too bad we can't get him on the line now, and he'll verify it. But we had an individual that comes in there, and I'll just have to demonstrate him. He's like, I need a U.S. waiver. And they say, okay, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I can't enter. I can't go in America. They don't let me in there. I said, okay, that's fine, fair enough. He said, yeah, they told me, the guard said, he called me a reject. I'm like, okay. And, oh, it was all I could do to just keep a straight face. And then he saw the Burnaby manager on another occasion to redo his waiver. And apparently he took the Burnaby manager's pad while the manager was talking and just started doodling on it. Just doodling. He's like, what the F? And, or ignore that. And I said, it's fine. It's okay. Well, you need to get this. We need this. We need this. He said, I need to get stuff for my waiver. I was like, oh, man.
Typical Beavis and Butthead.
He's just like Beavis and Butthead. Just, I couldn't believe it. Oh, man. And he saw the another case. He met the administrator, but I won't tell you what she thought. So that's the topic for another video. So you know, the bottom line is for this U.S. entry waiver business, it's a lot of work maintaining a 98% to 99% success rate. The people, you know, we have to deal with at times can be challenging. Some of them are really cool. There's been a few that, you know, you scratch your head on. But you tend to get the really good ones. You and the Vancouver manager, you two get the really good ones. You two don't really get any, I would say, challenging individuals. So, but the Burnaby manager,
Okay. You know how I always say five fingers are never the same, right? So, you know, sometimes you get a one off. It's, you know, it's part of the program. It's no big deal. But yeah, poor Burnaby manager. You know, I sympathize with them. I mean, I've seen a few, but as much as I just don't know. Is it something in you know, the water system on the opposite side of the Fraser River, you know, towards Vancouver, Kitsilano, you know, East Vancouver, Burnaby, New West, I mean, Coquitlam, you know, obviously it must be something in the water there. I mean, you know, you get on the other side of Surrey and then you got, you know, everybody shooting everybody and and stuff like that. But I think, you know, it's geographically, you know, across the whole board, it's all different anyways. I mean, you know, have I had, you know, like we just touched on that topic about a couple other individuals. I mean, it's just across the board. It's like a deck of cards. When you flip it, you just don't know who you're going to get, you know. But I'm a people person. I know how to, you know, be sensitive to other people's you know, I'm pretty sensitive to a fault on how individuals act. You know, I don't say it in front of them if they, you know, nobody knows what people are going through in their minds. So you really, you know, have to tread lightly. I mean, I'll never come out and say, well, hey, look, plain and simple, I think you know, the highlight of your life should be in Riverview. I'll never come out and say that, but, you know, I don't know what they've gone through. You know, some people have gone to PTSD, you know, you know, and people that need to go to the United States, I sympathize with you. The borders are closed right now. So it's not the end of the world. You know, we are very fortunate to live in Canada. It could be worse. We could be, you know, overseas. What's happening in the Middle East right now with Gaza and the Palestinians. True. For anybody that's listening, be very fortunate. You know, Canada and U.S. are brother and sister countries. America is the big brother. Canada is the baby sister. The borders eventually will open up. For that being said, there is certain criteria that can get you across the board right now, but you have to fall into certain categories.
So just a quick to touch upon that. I'm glad you mentioned that because, you know, sometimes I can get a bit off topic. Regarding for these U.S. waiver for entry, you know, right now in B.C., they're allowing the essential workers to enter. So essentially, in a nutshell, those waiver packets have to be prepared, I'm going to say, a certain kind of way, because we've got all these competitors circling like sharks looking for free info, especially one individual who's a very mellow fellow, always trying to, you know, find info. But like I always say, that individual can bite the big one. But anyway, having said that, a bit of a cheap shot. These packets have to be done a certain kind of way in order to get approved. But we do 95% of everything regarding the case. We do all the rehabilitation, the letters of reference, the research, their letter, the various supplements, and the case-specific items that have to be done on each individual case. So, because like you say, five fingers are, don't know if you say five things are not alike or two are not alike. I haven't got that one.
Or they're never the same.
Oh, there we go. I always borrow your quotes and give you the credit. So, that's why I say I have to balk on that. But yeah, regarding the eSafe, though, right now, that's the only thing that the BC border are accepting, those kinds of packets. And yeah, it has to be for essential workers. That's fine. And others. And I would just basically leave it at that. But we do all of it. We even make the appointment for the essential workers and the other individuals that need to enter or submit their eSafe fingerprints. So, but when the borders reopen, we're going to just probably mostly stick with the paper packets, because to me, either way you're going to a border, whether you go to a border to do prints or you go to a border to do paperwork and prints, to me, in my head, common sense says go down and get it all done at once, one-stop shopping. So it just doesn't make any sense to me. And even the paper packets, those are being processed along the same as the eSafe ones, because the official that I told you about, well, you saw at the seminar, and the official stated that waiver packets are processed between 10 and 30 days after you submit them, whether it's eSafe or paper.
Right now, yeah. With that individual, you know, in Homeland Security, with what was said and what was deciphered from that was that they're trying to do it in a timely fashion, and they're trying to do it within the 30-day mark. But with that being said, some individuals do have to go through extra precautionary secondary checks, which may, you know, produce a longer period, but that's at the discretion of Department of Homeland Security. But for the time being, with the one individual that went, he was an essential worker, and he got through underneath the 30-day guideline, which was, you know, a tremendous, you know, win for us, because that just shows that if you're an essential worker and the packet is processed properly through eSafe and, you know, I's are dotted, T's are crossed, and everything's there, there shouldn't be a real standstill. And we have other individuals,
exactly,
and we're just waiting on them. So
yeah,
with that being said, like, if whoever's listening, you know, don't think you're going to be done in like 10 to 30 days. It all depends on your circumstances. But if you're an essential worker, we do our due diligence, we bulletproof it. So we make sure we want you to go across the board if you're an essential worker, to keep the commerce of goods going back and forth between, you know, big brother and little sister countries.
Yeah, exactly. And to touch upon that, I was going to say, I want everyone to feel comfortable when they come. Like, we have some people who come in and their English is not the greatest, but that's fine, because we can pretty much cover any language. I mean, whether it's Punjabi, Hindi, Russian, Vietnamese, Spanish, or French. So we got pretty much everything covered. The one gentleman, he speaks Urdu, so he can also translate. So basically, when you come in, don't feel shy if your English is not the best, because, you know, we're going to have someone there that can speak on your behalf or translate for you. So we got everything covered. We got the rehab covered. We got the drug testing covered, we handle that. The fingerprinting, we have covered. We're just a one-stop shop. We have everything covered, literally. And other things we have covered that we won't put on here, so competitors won't, you know, try to take that and reverse engineer it. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, they know where to contact us at.
Yeah, in fact, they can reach us at 1-888-908-3841 or 604-332-9213. Or they can email us at someone jumped on line. Oh, here we go. Well, someone's listening to the show from, of all places, Maple Ridge. Uh-oh. Oh, I should not pick over Maple Ridge. But anyway, the email address is the word info and then at denied, D-E-N-I-E-D, denied entry, then T-O, then USA.com. So info at denied entry to USA.com. And basically we kept that email because that's the very first one we had way back in the day. And over the years, I said, you know what? People mostly know this one. So why not just keep it? That's why we just keep that one. Because even if someone gets jazzy and they say, well, I'm going to type in denied entry to USA.com, that's fine. It still comes back to us, www.usentrywaiverservices.com. So we also, we've got all the social media locked down and covered. In many ways, the stuff I don't put out here. We also got, we got India now. Well, I know they got COVID, but we got the India connection going on. I like to eventually start doing visas for people there so they can come to the USA to visit and all that good stuff. So we got that. The last one was Hong Kong, but I've got a gentleman in Richmond for that, and we're going to also open a Richmond location for people there. He speaks Mandarin and Cantonese. So we got so many things on our plate, you know, so many projects spinning at one time going on, so that's why it's tricky to get everything done at once. But you know what I mean? So it's better for us to be progressive like this than, you know, we're making things happen. We like what we do. We have good times with the people. A lot of them treat us like family. They joke around with us. They BS, whatever. And we get the odd one who, you know, maybe is sharp as sandpaper, but that's fine. You know, whatever. To each his own. What do you think?
Oh, I wish I could add something else. I mean, you pretty much nailed everything right on, you know, target. So if individuals would like to see me personally, I'm located through the Siri office. So, but I could also travel anywhere else if you need to see me personally. But the rest of the team, they're just as proficient and just as good. So rest assured, you're in great hands, no matter whether you see myself, you see the Burnaby manager, the Vancouver manager. And
so
Ken's always
here
for you. So,
I was saying, you got the specialized experience in some, in like certain areas, which is great. And the one area which you're really, really technical in, we're going to also start teaching that. So we won't really, I guess, not. Let's not discuss that now, so competitors won't try to take that and reverse engineer it. But we're going to offer that service to certain corporations that desperately need this business. So I guess today I'm going to just review what you emailed, and let's tweak it and get that puppy off the ground, get that one going, because that's going to help corporations save a lot of money. That's
well,
another thing.
Give them a little, you know. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. What you say?
Well, I said just to give them a little taste of, the sweets there, you know, the new addition to it would be those individuals that are essential workers, owner operators. This is going to be, you know, something new, and it's going to be very helpful for individuals that employ other individuals. And right now, the U.S., with the market the way it is, it's very tough, and it's very, at the end of the day, it's knowledge over, you know, experience. If you have the knowledge, then you don't need to go through the experience of being pulled into secondary and being questioned. So that's all I'm going to leave it at for now, but if you would like more information on that, please don't hesitate to contact us, because in the next few weeks, that next show will be catered to what we'll be talking about.
Yes. Yes. That's going to be a very, very valuable show for people, for a certain set of people. I want to say a certain set of influential people. That show's definitely going to be up their alley. So, well, we probably, I know we went over half hour. So we should probably just shut down now. We don't want to bore the people, put them to sleep. But yeah, so Ken Scott, senior U.S. immigration law intelligence analyst, www.usentrywaiverservices.com, 888-908-3841 or 604-332-9213. The denied entry to the USA show. And in the words of my Vulcan colleague, live long and prosper.